house.
Very, very good to have you in the house this morning.
Hey, it's good to be here. It is. And when I was in Colorado, I told a couple people this already, but it's my only funny story, so I'm going to share it as much as I can. Here I am in Colorado, this little podunk town called Marino, and the camp basically takes over the entire place. It's I mean, the kids just walk up and down the streets, and they own the whole place. And then they have horses, and they ride horses all over the place. And when you get teenagers who have never been on a horse, and then you say, just ride, they literally just ride all through the town. They were like walking on people's lawns and cutting through yards and up and right in the middle of the street, not going one side or the other. It's just hilarious. Well, I went out on the second day of horse riding, and they, you know, like to tease, evidently, the camp speaker. And so I go up at the corral. And I'm like, well, I'm here. Ride a horse. And they said, okay. And one of the kid helpers says, I got just the horse for you. And I said, really? Well, where's it at? His name is Justice. And I was like, is that a good thing? I was like, what's that mean? And then this punk kid brings out this itty-bitty, not even a horse. This itty-bitty thing with a kid saddle. And I'm like, can I even ride that? And they're like, oh, yeah. Kid the other day, his name is Jordan. Kid the other day, 6'2", almost 230-something pounds. He goes, he rode it. And I'm like, what? You mean the horse rode him? Because that's not a real horse. So then I get on the horse, and no joke, that kid saddle, even the side of it, not just the horn, it pinched my leg. It's so tiny, and my knees were up here. And then we get on the trail, and what the trail leader kids, the teens that were running it, didn't tell me was that whenever they run, Justice is the only horse in the whole corral that thinks he's going to run too. So when they run past, they do it just to get Justice to chase them. And I couldn't stop them. There's nothing you could do to stop Justice. You would be like, rah! And the horse is just doing this and running. And so literally, they just shot me a video. It's real poor. I'd share it. And, well, it's embarrassing. That's why I really don't want to share it. And so the guys are about to run past me again for like the fourth time, and they start to video it, and I'm yelling, no, don't do it, no, no, no. And then sure enough, boom, 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 they go, and then you see this dumb little horse. And I'm like, ah! And you can't stop, and the saddle is so small, I'm leaning to one side, I'm leaning to the other side. I am still sore from that saddle, but it was a blast, and the Holy Spirit sure did move in a fun way, and it was a blessing, and so thank you for loaning me out. And as you know, next week I'm going to go to Des Moines, Iowa, and there's going to be a two-day, I'm speaking the first 2 days of a week-long old school tent revival in the city. And I'm going to kidnap Steve, and Steve and I are going to go, Joshua and Caleb it. I'm going to go take some giants down in Jesus' name, and hopefully not get in too much trouble on the way there and back. So look forward to the testimony from that time, and be in prayer that the Holy Spirit really speaks the way He should through me, and that the Lord would bless it. But that doesn't mean that today isn't something special. So I'm going to start a series about stronger. So I picked an image to kind of capture my mind on this. And this came directly from Brian's Facebook page. It's a selfie. And I told him about it. He goes, man, I haven't even taken many pictures lately. So he hasn't changed a bit, if you ask me. He just looks the same. But, you know, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and I'll read kind of a very popular section of scripture, but one that is kind of a key for these next few services. I'm going to talk on being stronger. And in verse 10, under the banner, it may say in your Bible too, the armor of God, says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. So some of your Bibles might say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How many of you, your Bible says that? In the power of His might. if there's one chunk of the scripture I want you to remember more than the others even today, that's it. I want to be strong. I don't want to be strong in me. I want to be strong in the power of the Lord's might, because I'm not that strong. But boy, do we serve a mighty God. And it goes on to say, so put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the evil one. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up that full armor of God that you can be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins up with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in addition to all of this, take up that shield of faith with which you could extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take on that helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit that doesn't pass through security, evidently. I thought that was so awesome. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Amen. We're going to just stop right there. So, Father God, I just ask for you to speak through your word this morning. According to your unfailing love, Lord, speak to us today. And help us to understand what it means to be stronger. In your name we pray this. Amen. This series really started out of some of my own just devotions. And every now and then I get one of these little silly books, and then I just fill it with all kinds of stuff. Sometimes I make doodles and drawings. Sometimes I just write a thought. Sometimes I write whole sermon things out or whatever it might be. But this is just one way that I can take the scripture and I just make it my own. And it wasn't too long ago that I began to just kind of write down all these different ways in which I can strengthen myself in the Lord. This isn't really the message, but it's a part of it. And I just want to share some of the things that I put down in here because they ministered to me. And, I said I could definitely start out strong, but in weak, and I don't want that. So I want to have this perseverance. And I wrote down how I could have some strong resolve and convictions. I could be unmovable in my convictions, that I could have a strong pattern of living, and how a way of life can actually bring strength to a person. And so I was just sitting there saying, Lord, I want that way. And these are all basically my paraphrases of scriptural thoughts. You know, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. That's God's way of saying what I just said right there. And I could have strength in numbers like an army. And if it's not that, there's other things. If I fast and pray, I can increase my power and effectiveness even in my prayer life. How many times do we hear that anymore? I don't know if we really get encouraged in that. You know, there is one chunk of scripture out of Hebrews where it just points out that it's good for my heart to be strengthened by grace. And that's something that I think we need. Maybe that's why it's so rampant in our day. There's so much talk about grace to the point where it sometimes gets a little sloppy grace and gets a little too grace. And if that messes you up, I'm sorry. Give me grace. It's fun, but boy, we need some strong hearts nowadays because hearts are failing. And if it's not that, then there is this wonderful scripture. It's in Nehemiah 8:10, and it talks about the joy of the Lord is our strength. You might have heard that as a phrase in church, but do you know what that means? Religious practice brings joy. You and I might misunderstand the context of that scripture because it's more convenient to just say, the joy of salvation. That's not what that context is. And if you've never read it and looked at it, you may miss what it's saying. It basically means it's better to have a religious predictability, a pattern of serving, going to church, loving people, doing things, helping out in the nursery, helping out at the donuts, cleaning the church or working in the church. That type of a lifestyle is good. And that's why I put one book on that bookshelf out there that not one person has ever picked up in 1 year. Why Church Matters. I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But that's probably not a popular message today in church circles. But I'm a church guy. And nobody even paid me to say that, really. That's just, I would be a church guy whether I was the pastor or not. Because it's the joy of the Lord in me. And these are just things that I was thinking, man, these are all things that make me strong. Lord, the word makes me strong in faith and all this stuff. And it got me thinking about how I can become stronger. And let's go to the next slide there. And I asked myself, well, here's how it starts. I am stronger because I have a strong God. I'm stronger because I have a strong God. So it doesn't depend on my age, my physical stature. I can be mighty because I have a mighty God. And so I put down two chunks of scripture there, and I want us to look at the story. So turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, and we're going to read a story that I love. If you're there, say, mm-hmm. How you guys doing this morning? You okay? Ashley's doing good. Look at her. She's like, that's right. I'm doing good. Oh, I normally don't wear this, but I spilled coffee all over myself, and some of the heathens in my church didn't say anything about it until my wife got here and said, you look like a slob. And I was like, okay. And then I had to go into my office, and because I just flew back, there was still a shirt stuffed in my bag because that was my carry-on, and so I put that on. So that offends you. I'm sorry. And so maybe I'll just go swimming afterwards. That's why this is my swim shirt. So in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, here's the story. Jesus calms the sea. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he says to his disciples, hey, let's go over to the other side. And leaving the multitude that was with him, they took him along with him, just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. So they grabbed Jesus just as he was, and they jumped in the boat, and they started crossing. And then there arose this very fierce gale of wind, just like last night. Amen, Keith? And Steve and Julie and some of those others, that fierce wind knocked out some power. Anybody else knocked out power? Oh, I'm so sorry about that. I'm sorry. That's why you didn't shave, isn't it? No, I'm teasing. No, it's horrible, isn't it? And this fierce wind just came up, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was starting to fill up so that it would even sink. And he himself, Jesus, was in the bottom of the boat asleep on a cushion. I like it. It says, in my Bible, it says, on the cushion. Evidently, there was only one cushion, and if Jesus is in the boat, he gets the cushion. How dare he? I mean, doesn't he share? So he gets the cushion, and then they go down and they wake him up. They're like, hey, teacher, don't you even care that we're all going to die? This is great. Only students to the teacher, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, would ask him a question like this. Don't you care that we're all going to die? He's like, hey, I made you. If I want to take you out, I can. You know, I mean, he could have answered like that, but he didn't. And so being stirred up and aroused, he just went up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And then he turns to his rabble-rousing band of goofballs and he says, why are you guys so timid? Does your Bible use a different word than timid? Fearful, afraid. Has any of you have ever been timid? I've been timid before, and it's kind of funny, but timidity is really silly if you are all-powerful. And so he says, why are you guys so timid? How is it that you have no faith? And then they became very much afraid of Jesus. I love this. And they say to one another, Who is this guy? Even the wind and the sea obey him. You know, a lot of times our first impression of God is one of awestruck fear because he is God. I don't know about you, but sometimes even when we come to a place, a church where the Spirit of the Lord moves, one of the common responses of people is they're afraid of it. They don't like it. That's no surprise, because whenever God does move, it is fearful. Because you are not more powerful than him. He can do whatever he wants. And if he were to be able to do whatever he wants, that puts you on this kind of topsy-turvy, like, well, what am I supposed to do? You have really one response and one response only. Trust. Let him take you. You can't control the river. Why would you think you could control God? I've never jumped into a river and said, now I'm going to stop it and put it this way or something. I mean, it's just impossible. And you can't possibly control God. And so when you get an impression that he does more than what you can imagine, then suddenly you get afraid. It's also that way when you read the Bible. I love it when people talk about things that they don't read in the Bible. And they don't like it because they don't believe it, because they just don't understand it. And it really clarifies. They only read the parts and believe the parts they understand. Well, I was there. I like that. I like a God that I can understand. You don't have to be as afraid of him. But what these guys are experiencing is a God that takes our little minds and just goes, and then they're like, ah! And it's so important for our minds to just get blown. Because the Spirit of God, the Word of God, how God works in our lives, cannot be limited to this little wineskin. In prayer this morning, I really felt like the Lord gave me this image of a wineskin for us as a church. And I felt this conviction that we've got to refresh our adaptability, our flexibility. We have to be willing to let the Lord expand and contract and be God. We have to. That's the path we have to walk. And in fact, the Lord also, I wasn't going to even preach this. I wasn't going to preach this either, Ken, but I'm going to now. And so it's because the Lord just stirred up in me. You know, in Revelations, one of the messages to the church was basically this: strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains. This is important because a lot of times we start good. And I'm going to tell you, frankly, Visible Church was started rough, but started good. Started rough. Might have been a little messy for those of us that started it, but it started good. God named this church, called this church into existence. Many of us said, yes, amen, let's go for it. Let's tackle it. And then we get it up and going and stuff, and we even find a nice, comfortable place. We make it look a little trendy, you know, put some wood up there. Woo, you know, like that's synonymous with the flow of the Spirit or whatever. And, you know, we do stuff like this, and we take over to this stuff, and we're like, yeah, this is good. And we talk to the Spirit. We let the Spirit move, and then people get excited. I had one guy come through the church, just stepped in and looked at the church and went, oh, this is going to grow. He started walking around. Ooh, this is going to grow. He did this a year and a half ago. I almost want to bring him back and be like, whoa, what happened to what you said was going to happen? I'm making fun of it because we just talk. We just do things and we get excited about stuff. And rightly so. But honestly, a good start isn't the way I want my life to be remembered. And so what I'm trying to get back to is what that message through John to the churches, one of those messages was, who cares how you started? Strengthen what is there and finish what I wanted you to do. Some of us might be as old as Caleb in his 80s looking for that last mountain to take. Well, don't die before you take that mountain. Take that mountain. And you know what? I ain't done in this place until God says we've accomplished what we've accomplished. So we'll minister right here. We'll take on other properties. We'll build buildings. I don't know what we'll do, but we will do what God has put in our heart as a church to do. We are the visible church, and we're going to illustrate faith in this community. We're going to stand against division. We're going to stand against the hindering of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be a balance of grace and truth. I am not going to be this licentious, like, oh, freedom, freedom. You can do what you want, and God always going to love you and forgive you. No, you can't do that. That's what ruins marriages. That's what destroys your life. And you could be preaching that kind of grace all your life, and you will die miserable and alone because you aren't walking in balance. I'm not that kind of a church. Go find some other church to do that. I'm the kind of church that says, you may not get it all right all the time, but you are going to have a balance of scripture, and you better be active. You better be active. Because if we don't put it into practice, I don't care what you know. I care what you put into practice. And I think many people die knowing a lot of good stuff, but they just never did it. Oh, yeah, that's kind of personal, too, because I know my doctor even told me, hey, man, you should eat healthier. And I was like, okay, let's go get a donut and some coffee. I'm like, oh, man. But I'll tell you, every now and then I get a heartburn, and I'll be like, oh, man, that dumb doctor. Why did he have to tell me that? It's not the doctor's fault. It's just living right. So, okay, back to my message. So the first revelation of how am I stronger? How are you stronger? It really boils down to what these disciples experienced. You and I have to come face to face with a God that is so big, so mighty, so overwhelmingly filled with authority that you have no comparison to Him. He's the God who created the universe. He can say what He wants to say, do what He wants to do. He can calm a storm. He can raise a person from the dead. He can take a person out. Don't you limit God. That's important. But sometimes, that's not a safe God. So that's not the God I serve. I serve a God that was, anyway. But they had a revelation. And you know what? The men of God that were with Jesus that had that revelation were the men that changed the known world. Those were the men that when others saw these unlearned, weak people, they said, well, you've been with Jesus. See, that means strength of Jesus gets on you. But if you got a little God, don't be surprised if little strength gets on you. If you want more strength, that's right. You won't. That's it. Talk back to me. Talk back to me. I like that. And you know, see, this is the thing. If you've got a little God, little strength gets on you, and then little waves can knock you off course. But if you've got a big God, you can get on the only cushion in the boat, take a nap, while everyone else is freaking out, and the minute they get you awake and you come up, you can just go, and everybody goes, what was that? That's called strong God. God's so big, He can just do this. See, one of the first revelations of God, now let's turn to that other scripture that was on that slide, Genesis chapter 17. Let's go back there to the beginning, because when God reveals who He is to us, we need to take note and remember it. In Genesis, I'm going to have to get me a new Bible here someday soon. I don't like getting new Bibles. I like my old ones because they keep my notes all in there. Ooh, 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 ooh. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Who got a good voice and want to read that out loud today? Somebody? Come on. Go for it, Ashley. Genesis chapter 17, just verse 1 and verse 2. We'll say verse 1 and 2. Oh, and then my verse says, right in verse 3, and then Abraham fell on his face. I like that. Did anybody else catch the way God revealed Himself to Abraham? One of the biggest key figures in Scripture. I mean, you get Adam and Eve, everybody, even people who don't come to church know the name Adam and Eve. Those were the two naked people in the woods that started everything. And then, you know, and then you think about Abraham. Abraham was the guy who, he was the father of an entire nation of Jewish people. He was this guy who left all of the things that were familiar and came separate and devoted himself to the Lord. And the way God revealed himself to Abraham was basically saying, I am El Shaddai. I am almighty. I am a big God. I am powerful. That's who I am. Why? Why didn't he come and say, I am comfort? That was his first thing. I am sweet and comfortable. He didn't need that God. I'll tell you what he needed. He needed a mighty God that would make him fall on his face. Because only a mighty God could take one guy in his 90s who was not even able to have kids, really, and give him a child and a promise and make him into a great nation where he would outnumber the sands of the seas and the stars and the skies. You don't have a wimpy, ramsy-pamsy God to do those things. You got to have a big God. So why would we ever be embarrassed of big God? I'm like, we need to make God bigger in people's minds, not in the background. We got to make him bigger. But it takes people who are willing to fall on their face and go, oh, that's a big God. Oh, that's a big God. Is he big enough? How much has he spoken to you? What is it that he wants to do in your life? And what have you thought about that God's put in you? Well, do you need a little God? You need a big God. I'm telling you, some of the things that God's put in my heart, I ask myself, really? And then I go, I can't do that. You're right. I can't do that. But big God can do that. Not too long ago, one of my mentors, he came up to me in a prayer service and he said, Ben, you got a strength about you. You're a strong guy. The first thing that I heard about that was like, it's right. It's right. For about 10 minutes or a couple days, okay, maybe a week, I was like, that's right. Somebody noticed. And then they put me on that dumb horse. I can't even stop the horse. And it's just so funny. You know, first time I heard that, I thought, that's right. And it really has nothing to do with me. Oh, my gosh. It has everything to do about the Spirit of God. It has everything to do about the Bible. You know what? I can't heal a single person. I can't know things. I can't know any of the things that I know. Most of the stuff I learned from the scripture, it comes from frustration where I'm going, explain. I don't know. There's something. And it feels like that. I'm illustrating for you the way Bible reading is for me. I don't like it all the time, especially when I flip a page and I'm like, oh, now that ain't in there. No, you did not just say that to me. Why did you say that? I don't. And then you just sit there and wrestle with it. And it hurts. And sometimes you go, I can't even obey what you just wrote there. It's over my head. And you get angry because sometimes sacrifice is involved just by reading scripture. And then I sit there and go, I can't do this. I can't do this. And then he calls me into ministry. And I go, I can't preach to people. First of all, nobody likes church anyway. I don't even like church sometimes. And then you read the Bible and who even remembers the message? No one remembers everything. Statistics say 90% of everything I say, they forget in 10 minutes. And so it's like, why do I preach? You know, and you sit here and you wham to God and like, I can't do anything. And I'd much rather go do something else sometimes. But then God comes in and goes, it ain't about you, Ben. Who cares who says you're strong? It ain't about you. I want you to just be a little mouthpiece. Like I used to play trumpet, like a trumpet. I just want you to toot. I just said that. It's the musician playing the instrument. It's not the instrument. It's the musician playing the instrument. She just got it. She's like, oh, amen. And see, if I can get caught up more with how big God is, It doesn't matter what storm I'm in the boat with that big God. It doesn't matter what storm I'm in, how big the waves are at, or any of that stuff. Whatever the circumstances are, I'm in the boat with big God. And if I can be, if that revelation can hit me, it will transform the way I live and think and do and be, all that, because big God just made me stronger. And that's when people begin to see God differently. And that's my prayer. You know, I want the visible church, and I'm not talking about just us here. The visible church comes from Scripture. The body of Christ is very diverse and all over. There's congregations meeting everywhere. That's the body of Christ. I'm an individual member of it. You are too. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit's put you in that body. But wherever the members of the body of Christ are at, if they have a revelation of who the head is, how big God is, that body becomes strong. And that body can do things. And it's like one of the first verses ever came to me, but while we were praying about planting this church, it's like, through you, the manifold wisdom of God is to be made known to the world around you. That means through us, right now, today, over 3 years ago, the Lord said, I want a group of people that are gathered around this concept that you are the hands and feet of God, and that you will let the Holy Spirit reveal some wisdom to the world around you. It ain't in the world, it's in God. But we have to have that revelation of how powerful God is, how His wisdom is bigger, His miraculous strength is bigger, His even practical strength is bigger. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to dive into things that make us weak so we can cut that junk out and we can almost emphasize greater in our lives how much God makes us stronger. In the end of this summer, I believe the Lord has destined us to do more, to be more than what we've ever been. We are going to be a more fasting and praying church than we've ever been before. And if that's weird for you, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is to go one step further in letting God be God in you. Fasting isn't some miracle thing. It just basically means it's a way for you to get out of the way and just focus on God. And so we're going to let the Lord move through us in even greater ways. But not just that. You know, it is so funny how God's word is proven true in life. And if you live long enough to see how God proves us as liars when we're just speaking out of our own head, then you begin to see how God's word is stronger than anybody's opinion. And in recent months, I've talked with another pastor. He said, oh, Ben, I can't tell you, man. He says, living godly in this world is so important. And I'm like, yes, it is. And it's sometimes scary to walk that line of how do you preach, live godly. You know, it's like what Titus 2:11 says. It's like the grace of God teaches us to what? Live godly right now. The grace of God doesn't teach us to live however you want. But we have a culture in this world that is the minor things, they're majoring on them. What is your freedom? Lord, I tell you, my freedom, I love Jesus. Jesus gives me so much freedom. I can do whatever I want, X, Y, Z, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, what? No, that's the wrong trajectory. God's grace is a power that makes me want to be more like Him. Not less and less like Him and more like the world. The world does that. So I'm learning godliness. I don't know it all. I'm learning it. And is that an idea? If you think godliness is an idea, you're an idiot. It's not an idea. An idea doesn't feed you. An idea doesn't give you a job. Those are just good, happy thoughts. Let's just sit down with our happy thoughts then. You know, church is all happy thoughts. Agreement. I agree, then we're good. No. Purity has to be a part of it. I preach a gospel that says I have to love that woman right there, my wife. And do I like it all the time? No. Can I come stay at your almost house, Ken? So it just means it's not easy sometimes to do the things that the Bible tells us to do because it requires an actual dying to self. That's not an idea. That's an action. Well, we got to learn that. But then it's not just those kinds of things. It's also the doing of the gospel. Evangelism isn't an idea you agree with. It's a function you do. Oh, I believe in evangelism. Who cares? Have you done it? Will I pray for it? Have you ever opened your mouth and told somebody why you love Jesus? I don't know what to say. It's probably because you only know what to think. You never said anything. Go do something. And who cares if you say it wrong? Do it. Do it. You know, and we have to be a doing church. Not a thinking church only, but a thinking and a doing church. Notice how I worked the two together. I didn't want to say just a doing church because we got to love God with our mind too. Believe me, I don't want to be a spiritual kooky nut where I'm just going around doing without any knowledge. That's crazy and we can hurt people. You have to know the word. You have to love the word, but you got to do something with it. And so this is all stirring in my spirit. It gets me all going and I just go, oh God, oh God. I've only just begun to hope because there's so much more that the Lord wants to do in us. We've only just begun to do because the Lord wants to do so much more through us as a body. And so in closing, I want to pray for some of the things that are coming up because we have to do these things and do them with all of our heart. The things that we are doing, we have to stir up greater passion for them and just commit and do them with all of our heart. As we get into these next messages, we're going to talk about things like character. We're going to talk about things like fasting and prayer. We're going to talk about things that involve faith and the word of God. And I heard Brother Bill, Pastor Bill, did a home run last week. I was awesome. I'm like, I even turned to Pastor Mike, one of the guys at the church. I was like, man, if you keep doing good stuff like that, I'm going to have to travel more. And he's like, no, don't do that, man. And I was like, yeah, I know, because then they'll forget me, and I don't want them to forget me. And he's like, yeah, and I don't want you coming over here all the weekends, you know? So he did send me back. So I'm just sitting here saying, wow, there is so much more that the Lord wants to do. So stand with me today, and I'm going to pray for a couple things. And before we get to those couple things that we're going to be doing as a church that I want to pray for, I want to pray for you. Some of you need a revelation, a fresh revelation that God is stronger, bigger, more awesome, more powerful than you've ever imagined. You just need it. Maybe it's because you've been through a lot. You know, Bible does say that because of the sin in the world, the lawlessness in the world, our love will even grow cold. So if our love isn't as strong as it used to be, it could be just the result of you live in a world where we get hurt and there's a lot of junk and it can wear us out. Some of us in this room might just be wore out. So I'm preaching about stronger and you're like, I don't even know if I'm going to survive today. Well, you know what? Thank God, God is big and He is bigger than our weaknesses today. And you know, there are times where I am so weak, I don't know how I'll get through the day, but God. And so I serve a God that can step in at that last moment where there's hardly anything left. He has told us in His word, He'll never snuff out a smoldering wick. You might be smoldering, but when the Holy Spirit, the strong God we serve, comes in, He'll blow that wind of the Spirit on that smoldering wick that's just barely there, maybe nothing there, and suddenly, candle will burn. And some of you, I think you get bogged down in today and you very seldom think like a visionary towards the future and what God is going to do. And you need to have a strong God that will give you the freedom to think ahead and have hope and have a sense of purpose and vision, and it will speak life to you. Some of you don't have much of that vision. If I were to ask you today, could you tell me, oh, I know what God wants to do in the next couple years in my life. You might find that you're just in a spot where you're like, well, I really don't know what God wants. You know what? There's a time to just wait in that, but there is a time where you need to know what you need to know about the future. And it speaks bold faith to you. And God is the God of not just today, but tomorrow. And you got to know some of that tomorrow.
Oh, Holy Spirit, what in the world am I saying now? Well, some of you, like what we talked about, physical healing, some of you have prayed and prayed and persisted in prayer, but you need a touch physically. I'm going to pray right now for some of these things. And if you need those things, I want you to receive it. Let's start with the last one I mentioned. You need a physical touch in your body. We're going to pray for that right now. Collards need a touch in your body. We're going to pray for that healing strength in your body. Those around them, Keith, you guys right around there, if you want to go around and put your hands on them, maybe even Ken. Hey, Ken, hey, called you out today. Why don't you go pray with them too? Ken's coming over to you. We're going to pray and we're going to just believe that the Lord will speak life to your back, is it? Your back? Strength in all kinds of areas. Just in life in general. Strength in your life. Lord highlighted you even before worship service today. We barely got to the first song. And I just felt like the Lord said, oh, I'm meeting with them. And so I'm believing the Lord's going to do something in your life. So Father, we just speak life and healing into that very physical body in Jesus' name. Oh, praise you, Father God, for hearing our prayer as we fall on our face right before you. Lord Almighty, touch that body, every part of that back, every part of that body, heal it in Jesus' name. I speak fresh strength into those physical bodies. Lord, where they've been tired and they've been worn out doing all these good things, Lord, I ask that you replenish what no man could replenish. You and you alone. Give strength to those legs, strength to those arms and that heart and mind. And just like Elijah was able to outrun that chariot, Lord, give strength to their physical being to outrun. Holy Spirit, move in a mighty way. Now receive that in Jesus' name. We celebrate it in Jesus' name. Oh, praise you, God. You can keep praying if you want. Now, I believe some need a fresh revelation of how God is bigger and that your future is going to be impacted. You need a sense that God is so big, your future can be brighter than you've ever imagined. Who is it that needs that this morning? You need a sense that my future is going to be bright. You do? Good. We got one, two, three, four, five. Six, seven, I can't count higher than that. I went to public school. So I was going to have to start repeating the numbers I knew. So praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So right now, you lifted up your hand this morning. Your future is in God's hands. Hear the words of the Lord. Your future is in a big God's hands. You are not the end. You're the beginning. Lord God, I thank you right now for every single person that reached out to you now, sound of my voice. They said, I want to know that my future is in your hands and it's a bright future and you got a good thing in store for me. And Lord, I just thank you now for the settledness in the hearts of every individual that their future is in your hand, protected, guarded. Lord, I speak a blessing over them. That you will give them favor with men and you will show them what favor with you is all about. Lord, bless them overwhelmingly. And now, Lord, in addition to that, I speak clarity right now. You, as a person who raised your hand, I want you to open up your heart and your mind because you are going to receive vision, images, pictures of what God has in store for you that will be tidbits, morsels to chew on to speak life into your heart and encouragement. So receive those images, receive those pictures in your heart and your mind. Some of you are going to have them tonight as you sleep. Some of you are receiving them even right now. Just a flicker, just an image. Lord, I thank you for those pictures in our heart and our mind. And I seal them in Jesus' name. That we would not let one of those images fall to the ground, but we would trust you to fulfill every good thing you start right here in this message. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Now, for everyone in the room, I really do believe this is a visible church word. We're a little church, but you know what? One stick of dynamite can blow up a lot. And I think I'm a stick of dynamite. You're a stick of dynamite. We all came together. Oh my goodness, watch out for explosions everywhere. Every single one of us. But that's just because we're all just chips off the old dynamite block, so to speak. God is mighty. He's dynamic. So I want us to open our hearts to a greater revelation of God's power. This is a rhetorical question. Do you want a greater revelation of what those disciples saw in that boat? A mighty God that can calm storms with just a word. A powerful God that revealed himself to Abraham that said, I am mighty. Nothing is too difficult for me. Do you want a greater revelation of a strong God? Because then you can have that just impartation in your own life. You're walking with a strong God. That spirit of the living God that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Praise you, Jesus. If you want that revelation, I want more of that. Lord, we come to you in just one eager voice this morning. Open up our eyes. Open up our minds and let us see what only you can reveal. Show us how mighty you are. Show us how big you are. Show us how powerful your words are. Lord, let our hearts be overwhelmed and that we might even fall on our face out of awestruck wonder at how great and mighty you are. Lord, open up our eyes and let us just be impacted by you. Lift your hands this morning. Just say yes and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, as you leave today, I'm calling you to action on things. If you've never plugged into CIA, plug into CIA. If you've never plugged into one of the things that we're doing seasonally, like we're going to get together another dinner theater, I want you to get involved in that. You don't have to act good. You just have to act. And if you cook, I want you to cook. If you help, I want you to help. And if you have friends that have never come to a church event, then you need to pester them so much that they will just come because they want you to shut up. And then they'll come through and they will see that people who are believers actually can have fun. And there will be walls that will be torn down and that will open up doors for you to minister to people's lives. And I guarantee you, we will flourish in the areas that God has given us nets to gather people in. I want you to pray and get involved in things like with our youth. We got a great young people group here. I love this. We're going to invest more and more in our young people this year than we have ever done before. That's why we're doing this apologetics gymnasium. So support that. And if it's not that, then get behind some of these other things, like our men's meetings or like anything that we do with the women. Those things are so important. Do not neglect them. Take advantage of them. Amen. Well, Lord, love you. Be blessed. Now get out of church.